Chapter 159. The brothers Cheeryble make various declarations for themselves and others. Tim Linkinwater makes a declaration for himself. Some weeks had passed, and the first shock of these events had subsided. Madeline had been removed, Frank had been absent, and Nicholas and Kate had begun to try in good earnest to stifle their own regrets, and to live for each other and for their mother who, poor lady, could in no wise be reconciled to this dull and altered state of affairs, when there came one evening, per favor of Mr. Linkinwater, an invitation from the brothers to dinner on the next day but one. Comprehending, not only Mrs. Nickleby, Kate, and Nicholas, but little Miss La Creevy, who was most particularly mentioned. "Now, my dears," apostrophe said Mrs. Nickleby, when they had rendered becoming honor to the bidding, and Tim had taken his departure, "what does this mean?" Apostrophe apostrophe, "what do you mean, mother?" Apostrophe apostrophe asked Nicholas, smiling. "I say, my dear," apostrophe rejoined that lady, with a face of unfathomable mystery, "what does this invitation to dinner mean? What is its intention and object?" Apostrophe apostrophe, "I conclude it means, that on such a day we are to eat, and drink in their house, and that its intent and object is to confer pleasure upon us," apostrophe said Nicholas. "And that's all you conclude it is, my dear?" Apostrophe apostrophe, "I have not yet arrived at anything deeper, mother." Apostrophe, "then I'll just tell you one thing," apostrophe said Mrs. Nickleby, "you'll find yourself a little surprised. That's all. You may depend upon it, that this means something besides dinner." Apostrophe, "tea and supper, perhaps," apostrophe suggested Nicholas. "I wouldn't be absurd, my dear, if I were you," apostrophe replied Mrs. Nickleby, in a lofty manner, "because it's not by any means becoming, and doesn't suit you at all. What I mean to say is, that the Mr. Cheerables don't ask us to dinner with all this ceremony for nothing. Never mind. Wait and see. You won't believe anything I say, of course. It's much better to wait. A great deal better. It's satisfactory to all parties, and there can be no disputing. All I say is, remember what I say now, and when I say I said so, don't say I didn't." Apostrophe, with this stipulation, Mrs. Nickleby, who was troubled, night and day, with a vision of a hot messenger tearing up to the door, to announce that Nicholas had been taken into partnership, quitted that branch of the subject, and entered upon a new one. "It's a very extraordinary thing," apostrophe she said, "a most extraordinary thing, that they should have invited Miss La Creevy. It quite astonishes me, upon my word it does. Of course it's very pleasant, that she should be invited, very pleasant, and I have no doubt, that she'll conduct herself extremely well, she always does. It's very gratifying to think that we should have been the means of introducing her into such society, and I'm quite glad of it, quite rejoiced, for she certainly is an exceedingly well-behaved and good-natured little person. I could wish that some friend would mention to her how very badly she has her cap trimmed, and what very preposterous bows those are, but of course that's impossible, and if she likes to make a fright of herself, no doubt she has a perfect right to do so. We never see ourselves, never do, and never did, and I suppose we never shall." Apostrophe, this moral reflection reminding her of the necessity of being peculiarly smart on the occasion, so as to counterbalance Miss La Creevy, and be herself an effectual set-off and atonement, led Mrs. Nickleby into a consultation with her daughter relative to certain ribbons, gloves, and trimmings, which, being a complicated question, and one of paramount importance, soon routed the previous one, and put it to flight. The great day arriving, the good lady put herself under Kate's hands an hour or so after breakfast, and, dressing by easy stages, completed her toilet in sufficient time to allow of her daughter's making hers, which was very simple, and not very long, though so satisfactory, that she had never appeared more charming, or looked more lovely. Miss LaCreevy, too, arrived with two bandboxes, whereof the bottoms fell out as they were handed from the coach, and something in a newspaper, which a gentleman had sat upon, coming down, and which was obliged to be ironed again, before it was fit for service. At last, everybody was dressed, including Nicholas, who had come home to fetch them, and they went away in a coach sent by the brothers for the purpose. Mrs. Nickleby wondering very much what they would have for dinner, and cross-examining Nicholas as to the extent of his discoveries in the morning, whether he had smelt anything cooking at all like turtle, and if not, what he had smelt, and diversifying the conversation with reminiscences of dinners to which she had gone some 20 years ago, concerning which she particularized not only the dishes but the guests, in whom her ears did not feel a very absorbing interest, as not one of them had ever chanced to hear their names before. The old butler received them with profound respect and many smiles, and ushered them into the drawing room, where they were received by the brothers with so much cordiality and kindness, that Mrs. Nickleby was quite in a flutter, and had scarcely presence of mind enough, even to patronize Miss LaCreevy. Kate was still more affected by the reception. For, knowing that the brothers were acquainted with all that had passed between her and Frank, she felt her position a most delicate and trying one, and was trembling on the arm of Nicholas, when Mr. Charles took her in his, and led her to another part of the room. "Have you seen Madeline, my dear?" apostrophe he said, "since she left your house?" Apostrophe apostrophe, "No, sir." Apostrophe apostrophe, replied Kate. "Not once." Apostrophe, "and not heard from her, eh?" "Not heard from her?" Apostrophe, "I have only had one letter," apostrophe rejoined Kate, gently. "I thought she would not have forgotten me quite so soon." Apostrophe, "ah," apostrophe said the old man, patting her on the head, and speaking as affectionately as if she had been his favorite child. "Poor dear! What do you think of this, brother Ned? Madeline has only written to her once, only once, Ned, and she didn't think she would have forgotten her quite so soon, Ned." Apostrophe, "oh. Sad, sad, very sad," apostrophe said Ned. The brothers interchanged a glance, and looking at Kate for a little time without speaking, shook hands, and nodded as if they were congratulating each other on something very delightful. "Well, well," apostrophe said Brother Charles, "go into that room, my dear, that door yonder, and see if there's not a letter for you from her. I think there's one upon the table. You needn't hurry back, my love, if there is, for we don't dine just yet, and there's plenty of time. Plenty of time." Apostrophe, Kate retired as she was directed. Brother Charles, having followed her graceful figure with his eyes, turned to Mrs. Nickleby, and said, "We took the liberty of naming 1 hour before the real dinner time, ma'am, because we had a little business to speak about, which would occupy the interval. Ned, my dear fellow, will you mention what we agreed upon?" "Mr. Nickleby, sir, have the goodness to follow me." Apostrophe, without any further explanation, Mrs. Nickleby, Miss LaCreevy, and Brother Ned were left alone together, and Nicholas followed Brother Charles into his private room, where, to his great astonishment, he encountered Frank, whom he supposed to be abroad. "Young men," apostrophe said Mr. Cheeryble, "shake hands." Apostrophe, "I need no bidding to do that," apostrophe said Nicholas, extending his. "Nor I," apostrophe rejoined Frank, as he clasped it heartily. The old gentleman thought that two handsomer or finer young fellows could scarcely stand side by side than those on whom he looked with so much pleasure. Suffering his eyes to rest upon them, for a short time in silence, he said, while he seated himself at his desk, "I wish to see you friends, close and firm friends, and if I thought you otherwise, I should hesitate in what I am about to say. Frank, look here. Mr. Nickleby, will you come on the other side?" Apostrophe, the young men stepped up on either hand of Brother Charles, who produced a paper from his desk, and unfolded it. This, apostrophe he said, is a copy of the will of Madeline's maternal grandfather, bequeathing her the sum of £12,000, payable either upon her coming of age or marrying. It would appear that this gentleman, angry with her his only relation, because she would not put herself under his protection, and detach herself from the society of her father, in compliance with his repeated overtures, made a will leaving this property which was all he possessed, to a charitable institution. He would seem to have repented this determination, however, for 3 weeks afterwards, and in the same month, he executed this. By some fraud, it was abstracted immediately after his decease, and the only will found, was proved and administered. Friendly negotiations, which have only just now terminated, have been proceeding since this instrument came into our hands, and, as there is no doubt of its authenticity, and the witnesses have been discovered, after some trouble, the money has been refunded. Madeline has therefore obtained her right, and is, or will be, when either of the contingencies which I have mentioned has arisen, mistress of this fortune. You understand me? Apostrophe, Frank replied in the affirmative. Nicholas, who could not trust himself to speak lest his voice should be heard to falter, bowed his head. Now, Frank, apostrophe said the old gentleman, you were the immediate means of recovering this deed. The fortune is but a small one, but we love Madeline, and such as it is, we would rather see you allied to her with that, than to any other girl we know who has three times the money. Will you become a suitor to her for her hand? Apostrophe, no, sir. I interested myself in the recovery of that instrument, believing that her hand was already pledged to one who has 1,000 times the claims upon her gratitude, and, if I mistake not, upon her heart, that I or any other man can ever urge. In this it seems I judged hastily. Apostrophe, as you always do, sir, apostrophe, cried Brother Charles, utterly forgetting his assumed dignity, as you always do. How dare you think, Frank, that we would have you marry for money, when youth, beauty, and every amiable virtue and excellence were to be had for love? How dare you, Frank, go and make love to Mr. Nickleby's sister without telling us first what you meant to do, and letting us speak for you? Apostrophe, apostrophe, I hardly dared to hope, apostrophe, you hardly dared to hope. Then, so much the greater reason for having our assistance. Mr. Nickleby, sir, Frank, although he judged hastily, judged, for once, correctly. Madeline's heart is occupied. Give me your hand, sir. It is occupied by you, and worthily and naturally. This fortune is destined to be yours, but you have a greater fortune in her, sir, than you would have in money were it 40 times told. She chooses you, Mr. Nickleby. She chooses as we, her dearest friends, would have her choose. Frank chooses as we would have him choose. He should have your sister's little hand, sir, if she had refused it 40 times. Eh, he should, and he shall. You acted nobly, not knowing our sentiments, but now you know them, sir, you must do as you are bid. What? You are the children of a worthy gentleman. The time was, sir, when my dear brother Ned and I were two poor simple-hearted boys, wandering, almost barefoot, to seek our fortunes. Are we changed in anything but years, and worldly circumstances since that time? No, God forbid. Oh, Ned, 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 what a happy day this is for you and me. If our poor mother had only lived to see us now, Ned, how proud it would have made her dear heart at last. Apostrophe, apostrophe, thus apostrophized, Brother Ned, who had entered with Mrs. Nickleby, and who had been before unobserved by the young men, darted forward, and fairly hugged Brother Charles in his arms. Bring in my little Kate, apostrophe, said the latter, after a short silence. Bring her in, Ned. Let me see Kate, let me kiss her. I have a right to do so now. I was very near it when she first came. I have often been very near it. Ah! Did you find the letter, my bird? Did you find Madeline herself, waiting for you and expecting you? Did you find, that she had not quite forgotten her friend and nurse and sweet companion? Why, this is almost the best of all. Apostrophe, come, come, apostrophe, said Ned. Frank will be jealous, and we shall have some cutting of throats before dinner. Apostrophe, then let him take her away, Ned, let him take her away. Maidlines in the next room. Let all the lovers get out of the way, and talk among themselves, if they've anything to say. Turn them out, Ned, everyone. Apostrophe, apostrophe, Brother Charles began the clearance, by leading the blushing girl to the door, and dismissing her with a kiss. Frank was not very slow to follow, and Nicholas had disappeared first of all. So there only remained Mrs. Nickleby and Miss La Creevy, who were both sobbing heartily, the two brothers, and Tim Linkinwater, who now came in, to shake hands with everybody, his round face all radiant and beaming with smiles. Well, Tim Linkinwater, sir, apostrophe said Brother Charles, who was always spokesman, now the young folks are happy, sir. Apostrophe, you didn't keep them in suspense, as long as you said you would, though, apostrophe returned Tim, archly. Why, Mr. Nickleby and Mr. Frank were to have been in your room for I don't know how long, and I don't know what you weren't to have told them before you came out with the truth. Apostrophe, now, did you ever know such a villain as this, Ned? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said the old gentleman. Did you ever know such a villain as Tim Linkinwater? He accusing me of being impatient, and he the very man who has been wearying us morning, noon, and night, and torturing us for leave to go and tell him what was in store, before our plans were half complete, or we had arranged a single thing. A treacherous dog. Apostrophe, so he is, Brother Charles, apostrophe returned Ned. Tim is a treacherous dog. Tim is not to be trusted. Tim is a wild young fellow. He wants gravity and steadiness. He must sow his wild oats, and then perhaps he'll become in time a respectable member of society. Apostrophe, this being one of the standing jokes between the old fellows and Tim, they all three laughed very heartily, and might have laughed much longer, but that the brothers, seeing that Mrs. Nickleby was laboring to express her feelings, and was really overwhelmed by the happiness of the time, took her between them, and led her from the room under pretense of having to consult her on some most important arrangements. Now, Tim and Miss La Creevy had met very often, and had always been very chatty and pleasant together, had always been great friends, and consequently it was the most natural thing in the world that Tim, finding that she still sobbed, should endeavor to console her. As Miss La Creevy sat on a large old-fashioned window seat, where there was ample room for two, it was also natural that Tim should sit down beside her, and as to Tim's, being unusually spruce and particular in his attire that day, why it was a high festival and a great occasion, and that was the most natural thing of all. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.